Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'll tell you, I am fired up today because how about them Bears?
Dan Wiederer.
Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Tribune again.
Bears beat report and enterprise writer for the Chicago Tribune.
This story by Dan Wiederer, it's obviously very well reported.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score and 2400 Sports.
I listened to you guys talk to Dan Wiederer, and he's spot on pretty much for everything. You know, and I agree with everything he said.
We want it to be a fast Friday and a fast focus Friday.
Dan Wiederer.
His name is Dan Wiederer. Wiederer time.
Weedsy.
With Danny and Speeds.
Wiederer time.
Bears.
The Take the North pod.
Dan Wiederer talks football with you.
Parkinson Spiegel on the Score! Joining us now on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book from the Chicago Tribune and 670 The Score, a dear and trusted friend and confidant, Dan Wiederer, with us on the show. Weedsy, what's going on?
Who was the guy that said that I was spot on and everything? I got to get him on the payroll.
That's Chris Chelios. That's Blackhawks and Red Wings. Legend Chris Chelios loves your work.
Awesome. Apparently. Awesome. That's great to know.
So, Weedsy, did you run into any troubles around the Tribune offices for our little fun executed by Shane Reardon right there?
No comment.
All right. Okay. Does he have me blocked too already?
That's fair. He's the best. We all listen every morning. Every single morning.
All right, Weedsy. We're going to play a game of decode what Dan Wiederer means on Twitter.
Okay.
With 15 plus weeks left in the season, I'm beginning to wonder if a lot of Bears fans truly read the waiver and terms and conditions they had to sign before entering the 2022 season. I think I know what you mean. What did you mean?
Yeah, look, like we've been telling folks for 6+ months now that this is going to be a rocky road. It's going to be very bumpy. There's going to be a lot of turbulence on this flight. And so there's really been a high level this week of anxiety and unease off of one 17-point loss to the Packers on the road in a game where you're the inferior opponent. And I understand there's some nuance within that game that leaves people a little unsettled, but be ready for this to be your 2022 season and be ready for this to be a shaky roller coaster. I think I retweeted or replied to a tweet and said to one of the people that responded to that tweet, when you check into the Red Roof Inn, don't be upset at night when there's not a Godiva chocolate and a swan towel on the foot of your bed, right? Like, this is the experience for 2022.
Well, that's why I make my own swan towels. So wherever I go, I can provide that for myself. Well, that's interesting. And look, I think that makes sense, but let me ask you the corollary then in terms of the offense, because when Fields looks so bad as a passer, as a pocket passer, there's two schools of thought. Tom Thayer said maybe you simplify it down a little bit until he's real good at just a few things and then expand. Trent Dilfer said get him a whole bunch of layups, throw more passes. So do we see an increase in plays, like the volume of plays that he's expected to know, an increase in plays or a decrease in plays, or does it stay around the same? You know what I mean? It feels like you got a lane to pick.
No, I think it stays around the same. And I think Dilfer is right in that you have to kind of manufacture some confidence building completions early in a game to just to increase the comfort, right? And to to create a rhythm, which obviously was completely absent after that first drive in Green Bay. And when you go three and out, three and out, three and out, come back after halftime and go three and out again, now all of a sudden things start to spiral in terms of the rhythm and the zone that you're in. I think this quarterback this year needs to be challenged, right? He needs to be tested. You need to kind of increase the experience he gets so that he can improve his pocket presence, so he can see things, so he can feel the pocket a little bit more. We're two games in. It's been predictably uneven. And I think Sunday is a really fun test because it's against a defense that's good enough to challenge you, but it's also a familiar defense with a similar variation to what you faced all through the spring, summer, and training camp. And so you should have some level of vision and comfort going into this game.
They do have more of a strength, it seems, though, in the secondary than their run defense. Would you agree?
Yes. And when you watch the Texans play, they made life difficult early in the first two games for Matt Ryan and Russell Wilson. And this is what made me take as long as I did to get over the hump to pick the Bears to win this game. I ultimately filed my prediction as Bears 23, Texans 21. But it took 4 days for me to get there because I don't think this is a gimme. I don't think this is a slam dunk win for the Bears. And they're going to have to be sharp, and they're going to have to be a lot better with the attention to detail on Sunday than they were in Green Bay. When you go back through that Green Bay loss, I was more disturbed by the Green Bay loss on Thursday than I was on Monday, because you go through all of what you learn, and there were just a lot of opportunities there that they screwed up, right? That they screwed up for themselves, and that you cannot afford to do that when you're a team that's in the bottom tier of this league.
All right, so for instance, what made you more worried on Thursday than Monday?
Okay, so the play that bothers me probably the most, that in the moment it just kind of you moved past it and you got going, was the third and two after they got the takeaway and were trying to get back in the game and get a rally, right? And so now you're finally in a position, you're in field goal range, you've got third and short for one of the only times all night, and you've got a miscommunication between the quarterback and the center that causes a snap that's a little bit too early from Sam Mustipher to Justin Fields. And now Justin can't perform the reads that he wants to perform with whatever it is on a zone read there. And he runs to his left and he gets tackled for a 3 yard loss, and you settle for a field goal, right? If you are a team on the rise, you convert third and two, you continue on that drive, you punch the ball in the end zone. Now it's 24-14 and you're in a ball game again, right? And so that was a self-inflicted wound at a pivotal moment in the game where you say, man, that can't happen, right? Like, the quarterback and the center have to be on the same page when they break the huddle. You have to be on the same page in terms of, okay, I've got an indicator here in a loud road stadium that tells the center when I want the ball snapped, and I can't make any abrupt movements that causes him to snap the ball. And so that was one example of about six or seven going through there where you go, man, there's just too many, loose bolts, right, that need to be tightened up for this offense to be taken seriously.
Hey, Dan, I'm glad you brought up the center. They're not going to rotate centers, are they? Like, what's going on here with Lucas Patrick snapping? Once he can snap, are they going to rotate guards? Like, how is this all going to play out with Tevin and Sam?
No, I think as soon as Lucas is strong enough and has enough functional ability in that right hand, he will be the center. My forecast would be that comes in New York in week four, and Lucas Patrick is your starting center in week four. So I would expect the guard rotation with Tevin and Lucas to continue this weekend. And then when Lucas comes back into center, I would expect Tevin to remain in that right guard position. We'll see if the coaching staff has anything different to say about that. But that's my guess, is that next week is when we get out of rotation mode and we get to a quintet that is stable.
What's your overall impression of the young offensive linemen? I mentioned Tevin, but someone sent me a grade from ESPN for Braxton Jones today that was very, very high through 2 weeks that I thought was interesting. But I don't know. What's your sense of those two specifically?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's inconsistent, right? I think there's moments where you say, okay, there's some tenacity here. There's certainly some toughness that you like to see in young players that are going to have some rough moments and bounce back and produce some good moments. I think overall you're searching for consistency. And I think those guys and Larry Borum are two guys that are going to ride the roller coaster. I mean, when you've got, 15 rookies and I think 8 or 9 second year players, you're going to be in this mode at all times, right? Good moments, bad moments, good moments, rough moments. And so you just got to be ready to ride that experience out, because that's what this team needs to do to ultimately develop and improve for things beyond 2022.
We're talking to Dan Wiederer, Take the North podcast with him and David Haw. You hear him throughout the station all week long. He is our Bears insider. So you got there on picking the Bears.
Yeah.
But it was a struggle.
what made you ultimately pick the Bears?
Being at home, feeling like this team has a certain level of toughness and resolve that will help them persevere down the stretch of a tense game. I mean, I fully expect this to be a down to the last 2 minutes game on Sunday, and it's going to test the Bears to see how sharp they can be in one of those moments. I think Chicago should be excited for them to take that test. I think for the rest of the league, this game isn't even on the radar, right? Like, Bears, Texans, people are like, yeah, good luck. Like, give me 15 other games that I'm going to watch over the course of the week that are more entertaining than this. And let's see where we go. But for the Bears, you know, is it crazy to call it a measuring stick game? I don't think so, because I think when you look at the power rankings that people have put out from, you know, June on, it's the Bears, the Texans, the Falcons, the Jets, now maybe the Panthers in that bottom five. And so you want to see, right? Like, are we better than these teams, right? Are we better than these stinker teams, or are we, you know, deservedly so in that class? And so Sunday will give us a glimpse at that.
Why couldn't the Bears and the Texans be like a Thursday game? We could have it on an island and do what we need to do, all of us, and we could laugh at Amazon for their misfortune, and then we could watch Bills Dolphins at noon on Sunday, or just stay glued to Red Zone. Seriously, these are two of the worst four teams in the NFL, talent-wise?
Certainly five, right? I mean, certainly two of the worst five. And what island do you want to send us to? Because I need to know where I could book that flight on the Tribune Buck. Send me somewhere good if I'm going to have to go watch Bears Texans on the road.
One of the Virgin Islands.
Perfect.
We'll send you one of the U.S. ones, maybe the British. We'll decide. By the way, Dan, we're charting Tuck and Runs.
We
invented
are.
The acronym. We appreciate it. The TARs for Justin Fields. Actually, we're not. Are you charting Tuck and Runs? What do you got?
For those on Twitch, I made a page in the back page of my notebook that I cover for games. It's the TAR tracker, the Justin Fields TAR tracker. So we're taking this very seriously. We talked last week. He had 4 for 28 in week one, and I gave him an A-minus grade for that. Somebody's got to write this down because we're going to need a GPA by the end of the year. Week two at Green Bay, there were three, and they were all notable. 11 yards total in TAR yardage. But I gave him a C-minus because the first one was the touchdown. You can never downgrade a guy for scoring a touchdown. That's a good play when you tuck and run and you score a touchdown. But then there was the tuck and run and then decide to throw again when I'm 2 yards past the line of scrimmage.
Uh-oh.
That docks you on the grading system. And then the last one was the third and goal one before the notorious fourth and goal play, where I thought that Justin was maybe borderline with ball security there and lunging for the pylon. And we talked about this earlier in the week where you're inches away from fumbling that ball off the pylon or fumbling that ball and giving the ball away at the 2 yard line, where ball security there. And Matt Eberflus kind of backed this up, that there is a coaching point that Matt Eberflus and Luke Getsy and Andrew Janoco will go through on when the risk reward is there to make that dive for the pylon. And when you got to be careful to make sure that you're not in a position to give the ball away at a situation where you can't give it away. I see.
Wait,
you got a question.
But third and goal down two scores on the road in the second half of the game isn't a risky time to go, isn't worth it? Feels like it's worth it there. I mean, he almost got sacked on that play, no?
Well, eluding the sack is a positive thing, right? But then when you get out on the move, you just got to, anytime you're a ball carrier and you're diving for the pylon, you have to be 100% certain that you're not going to lose the football. I mean, that's just a rule in the NFL. And I understand where you're at, but you would much rather have fourth and goal at the one, which they failed on, but fourth and goal on the one than give the team the ball at the 20 or at the three, right? Like, and so these are things that for a developing quarterback,
that's a harsh grade.
Dan Wiederer is the toughest tuck and run grader.
I promise you the coaches brought that up inside the building this week. So
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong. Man, this team struggles to score.
Agreed.
Yeah. And a quarterback knowing that once the ball hits the pylon, it's dead. Right. So it's as long as
it's in your possession. Right. Like,
yeah,
Benny Cunningham will tell you if you accidentally drop the ball off the pylon an inch from, and then your coach challenges the play thinking you scored, and then the other team somehow gets a touchback out of your own coach's challenge, it's a disaster. And so you're always inches away from that.
Well, we're all giggling here about the tuck and run, but it's a salient stat, which, you know, which is why you invented it, is that so if he stays there, doesn't tuck and run, and takes a bad sack, like sometimes, so how are you deciding what is a worthwhile tuck and run? It shouldn't just be based on the results of the play. Sometimes it's the right thing to do in terms of process because guys aren't open and the rush is closing in.
No, you're right. And we have to have a whole different grading scale for just overall pocket presence and the plays where you don't tuck and run, right? And F. And the ones where right and where F. you where you so learn to play in there. And look, the one again, the play where he ran through the pocket and then got in the open field to throw 2 yards past the line of and Justin's development, like 2 months from now, he better be climbing up through the pocket and stopping again.
Yes.
Right? And seeing, oh man, Equanimeous St. Brown is wide open. You see that 3 yards earlier than you did, and it's a gain of 30, and the drive continues, and now all of a sudden you're not in this rut where you go an entire quarter where you don't get a first down and the other team hits you with a 21-0 blitz. And so these are the types of things that you know Justin has to learn through experience, but then not make the same mistakes twice. And that's why I think, like, you know, we better hope that when we're meeting in Friday, you know, the first Friday of November, that we're not having these same kind of discussions or everyone here in the city is going to have a migraine headache.
All right. I got 3 over-unders for you for this game.
Okay.
All set at 5.5. Okay.
Okay.
Over-under 5.5 pass attempts for Justin Fields that travel over 20 yards in the air.
Under.
What if, what if I put it at 15 yards in the air?
You get me closer. You'll get me closer to saying over there. 20 is deeper against this defense. They're going to play a lot of shell. They're going to have a lot of dare you to beat them underneath kind of stuff here for Justin. And there's going to be opportunities where you got to see, okay, this is our shot play. Let's take it. And let's make sure we take the shot. You know, there were a few on Sunday in Green Bay where the shots were there and they didn't take them. And, right. And that's just not going to work. But yeah, I don't know that this particular matchup caters to them going 20 yards or more downfield a lot. I'd still probably take the under on 15. And so this is going to be another patience tester, I think. But hopefully the volume of passing overall is higher. So give me another one.
Okay. Over under 5.5 targets for Darnell Mooney.
I'm going to go over on this one. I think that when Matt Eberflus comes in on Monday and on 2, 3, maybe 4 occasions says, highlight your skill as the priority for the Bears coaching staff, which means, hey, we've got playmakers. We've got guys that we highlighted all through the spring and summer as guys we believe in. Those guys are Darnell Mooney, they're Cole Kmet, they're Justin Fields as a deep ball thrower. The coaches' meetings this week certainly involved some discussion on, okay, how do we make sure that we're unlocking the guys that we spent 3-4 months deciding were our best players on offense? And so I think this is going to be the game where Darnell starts to get a heavier volume. I'll tell you this, that Darnell is very aware that he didn't have his best game in Green Bay. There were some things detail-wise that he screwed up on, including the 4-yard loss on his only catch where he just wasn't fast enough. He went in motion in front of Justin, then looped around him and went in motion behind him and admittedly just didn't run fast enough. And so the pass was caught about 4 yards closer to the middle of the field, maybe two yards closer to the middle of the field than they wanted. And so when Cole Kmet isn't perfectly sound on his block, you've got no chance. And if he's 2 yards further to the numbers, all of a sudden you've got a play with the ball in one of your faster players' hands, and you've got a chance to make a play. So Darnell's got to be sharper on his details as well. Justin even detailed the route imprecision that Darnell had on the one deep ball they threw late in the game that didn't connect. And those are things that you got to get ironed out. And so, but I will take the over that he's going to get 6 or 7, maybe 8 targets on Sunday.
5.5 targets for Cole Kmet.
Under. We'll say 3 there. We're taking baby steps with Cole. We'll say 2 catches on 3 targets on Sunday, and that's a huge step in the right direction.
He had 60 catches last year.
I know. I know, man. And look, some of this is about making sure that you get more than 41 plays, right? And I think that's part of what flummoxed the city of Chicago this week was, you know, we're looking at a stat sheet and we're saying there's 11 passes. Well, there was also, you know, 3 tuck and runs, which we detailed, 3 sacks, 2 busted plays, which one of them is the miscommunication on the snap, another is a fumbled snap. And so, that you know, they're 19 passes called in 41 plays. They got to get more than 41 plays, right? Like you can't go through a second quarter where you have 4 possessions and 10 plays, right? Like that just doesn't work in the modern NFL. And so the more plays you get, the more opportunities there's going to be for everybody. But part of that is creating first downs that then give you more plays.
Back to decoding Dan Wiederer on Twitter for a moment. You teased the Take the North pod with this. The need to know about Justin Fields by January 9th crowd is going to be disappointed. Is that because the Bears are not going to prioritize knowing about him by January 9th, or that we just won't know because you need a bigger body of work?
Yeah, the latter. Yeah, let's have this discussion here because I think this is good to kind of wrap our brains around collectively, because I understand the impulse, right, and the desire to want to know on January 10th if this guy's your quarterback of the future. But there's two roads here, right? Like, in order to know that he's not the guy, he's going to have to be really, really bad for the next 3.5 months, right? And that's a worst case scenario for the Bears organization if Justin goes through the next, you know, 4 months and is just a bad quarterback. It's going to be a disaster here. In order to know he is the guy, he's going to have this consistency of excellence that is just unrealistic at this stage of his development, with the support that he has around him from his supporting cast, with the reality that he's in, you know, Sunday will be his third start in a new system with a new coaching staff, with a new group around him. And so I just see no way that he suddenly hits this, you know, on ramp that takes you to the express lane to excellence on a consistent basis. And so I think everyone's got to condition themselves to be ready for the fact that we're going to get into mid-January and it's going to be a gray area. You're going to have half the people saying, yeah, there's still something here. And you're going to have half the people saying, no, it's time to move on. And it's going to be a shouting match like you guys have been experiencing this week and last week, and we'll probably experience for the next, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 weeks.
Yeah.
Years,
my entire life. What I said before the season was you just want to be in a spot to believe that when they use a top 10 pick on a tackle and a receiver, or a receiver, and they use a bunch of free agency money on receiver, that'll be enough to catapult him to the next level.
Ideally, right? And I think, like, we saw what happened in Philly. You know, we saw what's happening in Miami, and we see the way a young quarterback can really benefit when you get a proven stud receiver to come play with you, and how quickly that suddenly makes your stats look better, which then makes you feel better, which then helps your preparation, which then gives you a go-to guy in big moments, right? Like, Tua didn't play a perfect game on Sunday by any stretch of the imagination, but when you got Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill just turning everything into a home run, you say, all right, cool. Like, I feel comfortable, right? I feel confident. And now all of a sudden it looks like I've got more command just because there's guys around me that can make little things into big things. And it's a wonderful luxury to have.
Dan Wiederer from the Tribune and 670 The Score and the Take the North podcast. Enjoy the game. We will talk next Friday, Weedsy.
Yeah, enjoy Sunday. I don't think it's going to be the most entertaining game you guys have ever watched, but I do think it's got a lot of intrigue for people like us that are trying to figure out what this team is made of.
Thanks, Dan.
See you guys.
It's Dan Wiederer from the Tribune. He's an expert who has sources and watches film. Coming up next, we pick games against 10-year-olds and toddlers and struggle to beat them. It's Parkins versus Spiegel versus Spiegel on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.